My dear friends in Christ, what joy you and I feel today as our brother Jordan Travis Moger, at this moment a deacon of the church, presents himself for ordination to the Catholic priesthood. To say that his has been an unusual path to holy orders would be an understatement. With his wife Amelia by his side, assisted, I'm sure, by the prayers of son and daughters and his mother, he has done all that the Holy See in Rome and I have asked him to do, and even more. Travis, you served faithfully for many years as a Baptist minister, but for reasons of faith and conscience, you gave up a secure career as a Navy chaplain to become a Catholic. No promise was given to you that you could be a priest, but building on the desire to serve God's people that you have had since your teenage years, you did request consideration as a candidate for the priesthood. Today, that petition will be granted as I ordain you a priest. Now, the Baptist tradition from which you come is Christian, but among its ministers, it does not have priests. While you could and did preach the Word of God and guide men and women to right living as a Baptist minister, you were not able to do some things that Catholic priests do. But now you will be Christ's agent in bringing about that marvelous transformation of bread and wine into the Lord's body and blood, so that he may feed his people personally and build them up in faith and love. Now you will be able, in Christ's name and by his power, to forgive sins and welcome penitents, even if they strayed far from the fold. Now you will have the power to bring forth spiritual and bodily healing to the sick and injured through the sacrament of the anointing of the sick. And all the while, you will continue to preach God's word with your understanding of that word enlightened by the fullness of Catholic teaching. You will continue to counsel and guide the young and old, drawing on the rich moral and spiritual heritage of the Catholic faith. You will act in the person of Christ, the head of the church, as a true servant of the people he has redeemed. St. Paul urged the presbyters, priests, of the church in Ephesus to keep watch over yourselves and over the whole flock of which the Holy Spirit has appointed you overseers, in which you tend the church of God that he acquired with his blood. As the priests here and I know, this is an awesome responsibility. The Lord is the church's Savior. We are simply his servants, priests and deacons and bishop. To serve well, we must first follow the Lord ourselves to keep watch over ourselves, as Paul says. And then we can more effectively lead our people, being serious and sober-minded, so that we may be able to pray, as St. Peter reminds us, for prayer must be at the heart of our ministry. Above all, continues St. Peter, let your love for one another be intense, because love covers a multitude of sins. Love covers the sins of those we serve, because love always seeks the good of the other. So it moves us to help people to leave sin behind and to embrace a way of life fitting for those whom God has made his children in baptism. Keep in mind, too, Peter's admonition, whoever preaches, let it be with the words of God. But this you have always striven to do. The way a priest relates to his people makes a great difference in how they respond to his ministry. The Lord himself warns us that our manner of serving must not be that of the high and mighty of our day. For even if that use of apostolic authority elicits compliance, it will not elicit heartfelt devotion and willing service. Let the greatest among you be as the youngest, and the leader as the servant, says Jesus. As high as the office of the priesthood is in God's plan and in the estimation of our people, it demands of us humility, kindness, gentleness, and respect for all. Travis, you bring many human gifts to your priesthood, a great knowledge of the church's history and doctrine, a command of foreign languages, an intimate experience of marriage and family life, an easy association with others, but rely more on God's grace than on your natural talents and achievements. As St. Peter says, whoever serves, let it be with the strength that God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Through the sacrament of holy orders, the Lord will give you the strength you need for your pastoral service. Trust him to be at your side as you serve. Catholics in the Latin Rite may wonder why the Church in this instance chooses to ordain a married man to the priesthood, because the rule in the Latin Rite is celibate priests, has been for many centuries. Many of us can attest to the good that celibate priests have done for us. It is telling that men, women, and children who are not our biological children will address us as father. A celibate priest can be, in a true sense, a member of every family and a friend to single persons. So we will still have celibate priests, and I welcome among those here today our seminarians who are preparing for a celibate priesthood. Gentlemen, that's part of the deal, right? Okay, right? But with God's strength, you can do it. They're willing to put aside a natural desire for their own family in order to be fully available to the wider family of the church. So we will continue to have celibate priests. We trust the Lord to call them forth. Yet when the church sees in a man raised in a Christian tradition in which married clergy are the rule, qualities that make him suitable for the Catholic priesthood, it can make an exception to the rule of celibacy. As I said at Travis's diaconate ordination, many Catholics, both clergy and laity, I myself and our late Pope Francis, have seen those priestly qualities in Travis Mosier. And so the Church has judged this exception appropriate. Travis, I pray that God may fill you, your wife, your children, your mother, and with many blessings, and through your priestly ministry, bring many blessings to his people. Take up your priesthood with joy and confidence.